Oh, why don't we lift our hands across this building right now and let's bless the Lord with all of our hearts, all of our souls. Oh, He is worthy of nothing less than our highest praise that we can give unto Him. He is our all in our all. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, let's take a moment here right now, church. Let's entertain the presence of the Lord here today. God, let there be blessing. Let there be honor. Let there be praise bestowed upon you, for you are worthy today. Oh, and let's everybody clap our hands unto the Lord right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done already in our life. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing here today and what you're going to do tomorrow, next day, next week. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. In my short life, if there is one thing that I do know is God takes care of His own. Amen, hallelujah. It is a privilege to be here this morning with you. I'm honored, so very humbled to be here today. I've got to confess something before I begin here. I have been with you in service several times, though you have not known it, through the CD ministry. We used to call it the tape ministry. Yeah, the old cassette tapes. But I have been in service with you many times. I have enjoyed listening to Brother Baggett, and he has blessed me and fed me, amen, spiritually many, many times, and I'm grateful to have this opportunity. If we could, let's all stand as we go to the Word of the Lord here. Hallelujah. Just one verse of Scripture. That is Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18. Proverbs 29 and 18. And it simply says this: where there is no vision, everybody say vision. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. He that keepeth the law, happy is he. Amen. All right, I want to talk to you, preach to you, teach to you this morning on this simple subject: the determinants for victory. The determinants for victory. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and let's ask Him to bless this message here today. Lord, we thank you for your touch here today. We thank you for the word that has already gone forth. We want you to bless and anoint the remainder of this service, God. Anoint each and every family represented in this house here today. Let the word of God reach us and touch us and move us. Let it shape us and mold us, O God. Let your perfect will be accomplished here today, God. And we are careful to give you all of the praise, all of the glory, all of the honor that you were deserving of. In Jesus' wonderful and holy and righteous name we pray. Amen. And may the Lord bless you. You can be seated. Hallelujah. That word determinant, I'm somewhat of a wordsmith. I enjoy words that I've never heard before. And this word determinant come across to me in a book, and I had to look it up. And basically, it's a definition. A determinant is a determining agent or factor. Whenever I was in high school, I knew of my wife at that time. We were friends. And we talked a lot. We weren't dating at the time, but she decided, Brother Baggett, on my birthday, that she was going to bake some cookies and put them in a plastic bag. And at my high school, we didn't have locks. They didn't permit locks on the lockers there. If they did, most of us didn't even use them. But anyhow, so she took this bag of cookies that she had baked the night before, and she stuck them in my locker. And that bag of cookies was the determinant over whether or not I was going to marry this woman. Amen. Some people might want to say, well, they had me at hello. Well, she had me at chocolate chip cookies, okay? That was the determinant for me and my wife and our life together, and I am so grateful for her today. I'm thankful that my kids are here this morning. If they're cutting cartwheels, that's just because Daddy's preaching so good. That's not because they're misbehaving, okay? So anyhow, all right, So determinants for victory. You see, when people are left without a divine purpose or a plan or any type of insight to God or from God, they will soon fall into disorder and chaos. You look around at all of these third world countries that does not have any type of a structured religious system that deals with Christianity, and you will see the peril over in that country. You will see the heartache and the famine over there. And there is something to that today. The people that do not base their life around this God-breathed word fall into disorder and to chaos. It's just a simple fact. It's not coming from me. It is proof as you look into this world. And so the Bible, as you read the Word of God, you will quickly discover in the very first chapter of the very first book of Genesis, you will discover that God is a God of order and not disorder and chaos. He has never approved of chaos. Even in the creation of the world, it was a systematic thing. It was on the first day that He created light. And God called He said that it was good, and that was the end of the first day. And then the second day came around. He created the firmament. And then on the third day, it was the grass and the herbs and the trees. And on the fourth day, it was the division of day and night, and so on and so forth. On the fifth day and the sixth day, it was with a perfect divine plan that He created this world. And so God, let me go ahead and state on the outset that God does everything on purpose and with purpose. You are not here today by mere chance. You are not here today by accident, but it was by a heavenly design. There was a purpose and a reason for you attending the house of God. And the Lord has a word from you, whether it's through prayer or through song or through the preaching of His word or perhaps in the altar service. God does everything on purpose and with. And so because of this, we must understand that we serve a God who is a victorious God. And we serve a God who offers vision today for the blind. He opens blinded eyes so that we can see. Not with natural eyes, but with a spiritual vision. With something this world cannot offer today. And can I offer this phrase? That victory always begins with a vision. You read all throughout the Word of God, and you read about the wonderful victories and the accomplishments that the men and women of God had all throughout time. And you will see that it first started out with a dream or a vision. It wasn't, Joseph didn't get moved directly into the palace of Pharaoh and become governor over all of Egypt. There was a vision and there was a dream that he was first given long before any of that took place. And so can I tell a group of people here today, young and old, it does not matter your stature, your age, or your accomplishments. We must all have a vision of what God wants to do in our lives. And somebody say amen. Oh yeah, let's clap our hands unto the Lord right now. Victory always begins with a vision. You see that athlete, that professional athlete, as he hoists the trophy above his head in celebration of a championship. And you see all the fanfare and the confetti. Thank you. I was wanting to say graffiti. I meant to say confetti. Y'all are going to have to help me out here this morning. I'm a little tongue-tied. Hallelujah. All right. All of the confetti that falls down and the fanfare and the celebration, the music, the pomp, the circumstance, and all of that. And that looks wonderful. And we celebrate with them and we're all excited for them. But what we don't see is years ahead. We don't see the vision that they had of becoming a professional athlete in that particular sport or that arena that they now stand as a champion. We don't see all of that. We just see the end result. We must, ladies and gentlemen, have a spiritual vision. There must be something, Brother Baggett, conceived in us before there is victory. Before the walls of Jericho fall, there must be at first a vision. Ladies and gentlemen, we need a vision. No matter our position in church, no matter your accomplishments, we need to get a vision of where we are in life. We need to allow God to show us what we need to be in Him and what He wants us to be, and we need to follow Him. We must have a vision. That is the very basis. That is the foundation for your determinants for victory in life. Everybody wants to win. Everybody wants to accomplish and achieve and celebrate a victory. And at first, you must have a vision. Amen. In order to accomplish God's will, you've got to follow some determinants. And I want to talk to you this morning about three determinants for victory. Number one, victory is made up of decisions, both great and small. That word decision is the act of reaching a conclusion, a final judgment. In most cases, God will not give you direction until a decision is made first. It is said that decision determines destiny. You take a small stone, just a little pebble, and you can walk up to a large pond, and you can take that stone and you can throw it as far as you like into the middle of that pond, and when it hits, you'll see this ripple effect. That small little pebble that you threw in that water begins those, it causes that surface of that water to begin to ripple. And if you'll stand there and you'll notice long enough, those ripples will extend much, much further than you ever thought or imagined. In fact, they will reach the very edge and the very banks of that pond. Just a small little stone can do this. And our life is made up of thousands of decisions. Every day we make a decision. We get up in the morning and we decide, we decide to brush our teeth, and we decide to comb our hair, and we decide what clothes to put on. And we make thousands of decisions that are just automatic all throughout the day. And can I tell you this morning that your victory is made up of thousands of decisions in your life. No one chooses to do something and then lets it rest. It is a constant decision-making process. Whenever I was filled with the Holy Ghost and I made up in my mind that I was going to live for God. You hear me, young people? I know you're not in Sunday school this morning, so I'm going to talk to you. Is that all right if I talk to these young ones here right now? You hear me, young people, because your decision to live for God will be made over and over again. It is not a one-time decision that you make, but it's something that you make the next day and the next week and the next year. It is a constant decision-making process that we decide that we're going to serve God and we're going to live for God each and every day of our life. This is the day that the Lord has made. I have decided to rejoice and be glad in it. I have chosen to go to the house of God. I choose to hear the word of the Lord. I choose to serve my God with all of my heart, with all of my soul, and with all of my spirit. I decide to live for God. Decisions. Decisions today. All throughout the word of God, you will find people who made up their mind, who made a decision. Moses had to make a decision, and his first decision was the toughest. Should he remain in the house of Pharaoh or return to his people? His decision, that one choice, was that small pebble that he threw into the pond. His decision would chart the course for the remainder of his life. Hebrews 11 and 24 says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of reward, choosing rather to suffer the afflictions. Moses made a choice, and because of that choice, he was placed in a leadership position. Because of that choice, he was instrumental in delivering the children of Israel out of Egypt. It came down to a vision one day for Moses, and then it came down to a choice that he had to make. Ladies and gentlemen, let us choose the Word of God. Let us choose to do right. Let us step out by faith, even though we might see that there are circumstances and situations that could possibly challenge us and push our faith and pressure us. Let us choose to do the will of the Lord. We'll find out that whenever we decide to live for God, whenever we choose Christ, that the rewards are much greater than the temporary rewards that we receive down here. And let the house of God say amen. Hallelujah. You've got to be willing to pay the price whenever you make your decision. All throughout the Word of God, Noah heard from God and decided to build a boat, pushing off all of those who called him crazy. All of those who said there's no way that that's going to happen. All of those who pressured him. He heard from God and he made a decision and he stuck with it and he built the boat. Abraham sold everything that he had and he moved out of the city that he called his home and decided to seek a city whose builder and maker was God. Gideon fleeced the Lord 3 times before he decided to go into battle. And he took 300, and they were victorious over thousands of the Midianite army. All because of a choice. Elijah felt the touch of the prophet's mantle, and he burned his oxen and followed the man of God. It was just a simple decision. The disciples forsook all to follow Jesus Christ. Now their names are inked upon the Word of God, forever etched in the pages of history over a simple decision. Can I tell someone here this morning that you are one decision away from doing the right thing? You're one decision away from your healing. You're one decision away from seeing your children saved. You're one decision away from seeing your loved one come to church. You're one choice away from God performing a miracle in your life. Just one choice. Just one decision. Just one. Just one. Just one. Oh, hallelujah. One of my, the things that I ask the most is, how do I know that it's the right decision? I mean, it's easy to stand up here and tell someone, oh, you've got to make the right decision. Well, what is the right decision? I mean, how do I know that I'm making the right decision? And it's simple. There's no secret formula. There's no magic wand. It's very simple, and I'm a simple person, so that makes it easy. To know that you're making the right decision is to dig in the Word of God. It's to come to the house of the Lord. It's to pray. It's to fast. There's no other way around it. I've been a youth pastor for over 10 years in youth leadership position. And I tell the young people the same thing. There's no shortcuts to life. And the only way that you're going to hear from God is if you follow after God. You get your face down in an altar and you begin to pray. And you hear the word of the Lord as it's preached over this pulpit. And you fast. And you read God's word. And you find out in the word of God bases all the decisions of life. Any question that we might have, we can find it in His Word. My pastor has often said, and I believe this to be true because I've practiced it and I've tried it and I've found it to be true. You have a question and you're looking for an answer in your life. You just come to about 3 or 4 services and you'll find your question answered. You come to the house of God and you hear the word of the Lord and you will find that God will answer your prayer. God doesn't want you to meander, wander around aimlessly, not knowing what's going on or what the next step is to take. But God wants to give His people direction. He wants you to know that you have a way in which is right right in a way in which is wrong, and He wants the best for your life. He wants to see each and every one of us here today under the sound of my voice to succeed. He wants us to grow in grace and in mercy. He wants us to grow in His kingdom. And not only that, He wants us to deliver the Word of God to a lost and a dying world. God wants to see His people succeed. And because of that, He is going to give us direction. Hallelujah. I'm hard-headed. You got to tell me something to do more than once or twice. So you got to repeat it. And so in my prayer time, I say, God, you got to understand. I'm a little slow, so you're gonna have to work with me here, and you're gonna have to really show me if this is what you want me to do. And lo and behold, if God doesn't do it, He answers again, and He answers again, and He answers again. And it's in uniform. It's all the same answer every single time. God is willing to give us direction if we're willing to receive direction. And the church said amen. Hallelujah. Micah 6 and 8. O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. If you do the best that you can do before God and man, you're going to be in God's will. It just takes a decision. It's just one choice. And it happens every day. Whenever you get up, we decide to go to work. You say, well, I'll get fired if I don't. Well, you still made a decision. You went to work. You decided to provide for your family. That was a choice that you make. And you got up this morning and you made the decision, I'm coming to the house of the Lord. Well, there is an end result. There is a purpose and a point to that. And that's because I want to be saved. I want to see my family saved. And so we must learn to choose. Number two, in order to reach a destination, you've got to have direction. And that word direction is simply a tendency towards a particular end or goal. I said earlier there are people that wander around through life without any type of direction. I remember whenever I was in college and I was working a part-time job trying to pay for college. And I was talking to a young man. I was trying to get him to come to church. And I told him, Don't you want to come to church? Don't you want to live right? You know, and I had been witnessing to him for a while, and he begins to tell me, man, if I start going to church now and if I start living right now, I'm going to have all kinds of regrets later on in my life, and I'm going to wish that I would have done this and done that. And he didn't realize that in his mind he was trying to live a life with no regrets. And sad to say that the choices that he was making and the direction that he was going to be a life full of regrets. He's going to look back on his life one day and he's going to wish that he had made some different decisions. He had no direction in his life. He just